Pray and thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray that you will open our eyes tonight to behold wondrous things out of your law in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. All right, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Okay, powerful. Now you may be seated and let's go to the Word of God. Amen. Wow. Is it powerful tonight? Lady Pastor Louisa is here. Is it possible? Feels like we're about to have a pastor's meeting. All right, amen. Tonight I want to talk to you or share with you about the importance of sowing seeds. Why you must sow seeds. Hallelujah. Why you must sow seeds, or the importance of sowing seeds. Hallelujah. Now, seeds are not just for farmers. Amen. You don't have to be a farmer to sow seeds. A Christian must have a seed sowing habit. Hallelujah. And I want to share with you about that starting tonight. Amen. So number one reason why you must sow seeds is because seeds are God's creation to provide wealth and blessing in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Seeds are God's creation to provide wealth and blessing in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. All that God gives. You know, I was looking in the dictionary to see the meaning of the word seed. And one of the meanings of the word seed says, it says it is the propagative source of anything. Do you understand? The propagative source of anything. In other words, anything and everything has its origins in a seed. Hallelujah. Which means that if you want to have anything, what you need to do is to look for the seed that produces the thing. Are you getting it? You need to find the seed that produces the thing. It is the surest way of getting anything, which is that you find the seed that produces that thing, and then you plant that seed. Hallelujah. When you plant that seed, then you can expect to have a harvest of that particular thing you are looking for. Amen. So God puts seeds in the earth, and God gave us seeds so that we can have so many different things. And there are as many seeds as there are things. Basically, I mean, what you want is what determines how many seeds you must carry. Hallelujah. You choose the seeds you want based on what you are looking for in life. Can I have an amen? Amen. When you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, God introduces the idea of seeds. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself." Wow. So he says, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Then it says, upon the earth, and it was so. You know, then the next verse says, that God, the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. God saw that it is good for a fruit, do you know? It says the tree yielding fruit, you know, the tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself after his kind. And God said, it's good that things be that way. Amen. It is good that a fruit should have the seed that produces it in itself. Do you understand? Which means that if the seed is the propagative part of the fruit, that means the seed is the part of the fruit that is responsible for giving you the next fruit or for providing or producing another fruit like that. Do you understand? Then the only way to have fruits is to give away a part of the fruit itself. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the only way to have something is to give away some of that thing you are looking for. Do you understand? Because the fruit you are looking for is carrying the seed of the fruit in itself. Amen. The fruit you are looking for, whatever the fruit is, whatever the harvest is, whatever the blessing is, the fruit of that blessing or harvest carries the seed that produces it in itself. Amen. So to have that fruit, you have to be prepared to give a part of that fruit away. Can I have an amen? If you keep the fruit all to yourself and eat everything, you're going to have nothing. Hallelujah. Apart from what you just ate. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So God is the one who created seeds. And God has ordained that living things would have seeds within them. Hallelujah. And it is the seed planting, the law of planting seeds and harvesting them that God has put into the world to ensure that we are provided for. So look at the way the world runs. We have seasons and cycles. Do you see that all the days are not equal? Some of the days are really tough, and some of the days are really nice. Sometimes the weather is really harsh, then other times the weather is just beautiful. Hallelujah. And we keep going around in cycles and circles, really. But the thing that never stops is the producing of seeds, you know. It is the seeds, the fruit, then the fruit has a seed in it. The seed is planted when the season for it is here, do you see? And then it gives birth to the next fruit. When the fruit comes, the season for harvesting the fruit also comes. And you enjoy it. Then while you're enjoying it, you are not supposed to forget to replant. Do you understand? To sow the seeds again by the season. Hallelujah. So there's a season for sowing every kind of seed. Hallelujah. And as the seasons are turning and rolling round, God expects you to recognize them, that this is a season for this seed, and you sow it. Then when the season for harvesting that seed also comes, you also reap your harvest. Do you understand? While in that particular season, and that particular season for harvesting a particular seed may also be the season for sowing a different kind of seed. Do you see? So that's the cycle that God has set in motion, and year after year, year after year. You know, today I was standing in front of my house and I was looking at the trees, you know, on the street. And I was just, it just occurred to me how year after year, all the leaves on this tree fall down, you know, and then the whole cycle begins again. So you can actually count how old you are by seeing how many times you've seen the thing falling off. Hallelujah. Yeah, and you just see this thing, since I came to live here, it has fallen off 3 times. It means I'm 3 years older. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it is very, very important. Number 2, sowing seeds gives you the legal right to a harvest. It gives you a legal right. It entitles you to a harvest. Amen. Because as we're saying, life is made up of harvest sessions that come after seed planting sessions. So, there is a season when you have the opportunity to plant seeds. Do you see? And when that season is here and you plant your seeds, then that qualifies you for a harvest. It qualifies you for looking out for a harvest. It qualifies you for going out there to reap something. Hallelujah. Because you have planted, and that makes you entitled to harvest and to have something. Hallelujah. So when you have long periods of planting nothing, you see, all that you have done is scheduled for yourself long periods of harvesting nothing. Hallelujah. If you schedule for yourself or engage in long periods of planting nothing, you don't sow any seeds and you plant nothing, all you set yourself up to experience is a long season and a long period in your life where you harvest nothing. Hallelujah. If you look in the fields where no planting has taken place, there's nothing to harvest. You can't just walk past a field that you haven't planted anything there and then call it suddenly your farm. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't just walk past, like, on the way to this place, some of the bushes we pass by when you're driving to church, you know. You can't just go to a part of it and just claim and say, this is my harvest. You will have nothing because you planted nothing there. Hallelujah. So you are not entitled to different kinds of fruit. There are many fruits you are not entitled to because you have never sowed that type of seed. Amen. You shouldn't even expect it because you haven't sowed that kind of seed. You know, tonight the kids are really disturbing me. Jason, can you come here? Come and sit right here. Get your stuff and come and sit right here in the middle. Okay. So, are you following what I'm saying? See, when the devil sees that you're preaching a nice message, then he tries to use people to disrupt the message like that. So don't disrupt my message. Do you understand? Right. So what I'm saying is that when you plant nothing, you will have long periods of harvesting nothing. Hallelujah. You know, I've just lost world device, so let me go on to the next point. Next point. Spiritual, how many points do you have? Number two. Number three. Good things are seeds. Good things are seeds. Amen. Now, you need to believe this, that if you're going to have good things in your life, you need to see good things as being seeds. Anything that you consider to be good is a seed. Hallelujah. Anything you consider to be useful that could add something to your life is actually a seed. Amen. And good things, you know, let's read Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Hallelujah. Then it is this verse that actually adds that, you know, God is not, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Right. So he's saying that you should communicate with him that teaches in all good things. Then he says, because whatsoever a person, don't be deceived, don't be tricked. Do you understand? Don't be fooled. What God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that he also reaps. That shall he also reap. So, if you have not sown things, do you get it? You can't expect to reap things. Or what do you think? Good things. Hallelujah. Now, we all have an appetite for good things. Is it not true? We like good things. We like the better life. We like the easy life. Isn't it? We like our lives to be surrounded by nice things. We like our homes to be filled with nice things. Is it not true? We like our general existence to be characterized by nice things and nice experiences. Isn't it? And the Bible says, do not be deceived. Do you see? Don't be tricked that those things come from what you have sown. Hallelujah. That means whatsoever a man soweth not, that shall he also reap not. Is it not true? Yeah. So if you want nice things, you have to learn to sow nice things. Can I have an amen? I'm talking about things. I'm talking about iPhones, iPads. Yeah, because these are the things we want. Is it not true? Yeah, so I don't want to be vague at all. I'm talking about laptops. Do you see? I'm talking about dresses, shoes, you know, suits, cars, isn't it? Nice things. I tell you that if you have not sown nice things, you are not entitled to nice things. And therefore, you cannot expect to reap nice things. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's important for us to sow nice things. Amen. Amen. We should believe God. Everyone should believe God for the day when you just take a car and bless somebody and say, hey, this is yours. Just be happy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because it shows that you have reached a certain level, not in giving, but also in receiving. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the type of seeds that you sow, you know, they are also a message about the type of harvest that you qualify to reap. Do you understand? So if you give things to people, you give solid things, precious things, things that make a difference. You know, there are some things that don't make a difference to somebody's life. You get it? You give someone some old perfume you don't like, some type of cream that you don't like, you know, old something that someone does, you've been sitting there, so you don't even know what to do with it. These type of things that don't mean anything to you. Do you understand? How are you going to, if you reap that, imagine that, the things you don't like that you give away, you're going to reap a lot of those things that you don't like. Because that's the nature of your seeds. You only sow a seed, you only give out things you don't like. And schedule for yourself seasons, long seasons of reaping things you don't like. Things that don't make a difference to your life. Things that don't push you forward. Because the fruit, remember, Genesis chapter 1, it says, the good fruit, the seed is in itself. So unless you give some of that same thing away, you cannot expect to reap that same thing. Can I have an amen? Amen. I think you understand it. Yeah. Number four. Spiritual virtues are seeds that can be sown. Spiritual virtues are seeds that can be sown. Hallelujah. The law of sowing and reaping, or the seed nature, which is the source or the propagative source, do you understand, of anything, This is what that's what a seed is. It is also found in virtue. Hallelujah. And by virtue, we are talking about traits of character. You understand? And personality. We're talking about attributes and behaviors. Do you see? And dispositions in people. Hallelujah. And those things are also seeds. So, for instance, the Bible teaches clearly that a person who sows mercy will also reap mercy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. The Bible says merciful people are blessed. Why? Because they will obtain mercy. Do you understand? It says, blessed are the merciful. A merciful person is blessed. Why? Because he is going to obtain mercy. Wow. Now, if your nature, or if you, as a human being, your nature is to make mistakes and to offend. You think about it. Your primary nature is to make mistakes and to offend. Isn't that how we all are? That is our primary nature. We are wired to sin. David calls it, he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you understand? In fact, there is, in other words, there is no me without sin. That sin is a pre-existing condition in my life. That's how I am. Do you understand? It's wired to my very core, my very essence, you see, has sin as a large part of it. Now, if that is your nature and that is you, which means then that your life is going to be loaded with offending, doing the wrong things, and therefore reaping that. That's why the Bible says you are blessed. When on top of all that, you are a sower of mercy, because you are going to obtain mercy, which is the eraser. The mercy that you obtain is the eraser of the consequences of all the mistakes that you make. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's saying that when you are a merciful person, you are blessed. So you can sow mercy. You can sow love. Do you understand? You can sow forgiveness. These are all seeds that can be sown, isn't it?
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 18 and verse 32. He says, then his Lord said, after that he had called him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. You see, in other words, he gave him the fruit. Do you get it? He gave him the fruit. But then, the fruit contains the seed. So for you to be able to get the next fruit, you must be prepared to give the part of the fruit you had, which is the seed. You must be prepared to give that away. And when you don't, your fruit is finished. So you see, the master said, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Then he says, should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? See, shouldn't you have taken a part of the fruit that I gave you to become the propagative source of the mercy you yourself are going to need hereon? But you didn't do that. Do you see? So he says, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Because now he wasn't entitled to any more mercy. It's finished. He got the fruit and he blasted all. He ate everything. He did not sow any part of it. Do you see? Then he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So really, forgiving your brother his trespasses is actually a laying up for yourself. It's not a gaining or a going scot-free of the brother. But it is rather a wise consideration of your own future. You see, it is a smart investment against your own future, knowing that in sin did your mother conceive you, that you are wired and your very nature guarantees that you will be in the same spot. It's only a matter of time. Are you getting the picture? So the Bible says that, brethren, if someone is overtaken by a fault, you who are spiritual, he said, restore such an one gently. Handle with care. Considering thyself. Do you understand? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because you are just as vulnerable as the person is. That's how we all are. So the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. I mean, you are merciful. You are blessed because you obtain mercy, which you are going to need. And you're going to need a lot of it, just the way you are. Hallelujah. Is it not amazing? So those are things we can sow. We can sow virtue like love. Do you understand? That if you love people and show love to people and care for people, do you see? God is going to bless you also, and you will reap a harvest of love and care. Amen? Amen. If you sow respect and honor, do you see, to those who deserve respect and honor. There are some people who don't respect anybody. And you see that people who don't respect anybody are not respected much by others themselves. Yeah, they don't have much. People don't have much. Sometimes people sort of yield to them and respond to them out of fear. Because some of such people have some kind of power. Either they are rich or something that gives them some kind of power. Do you see? That makes or creates a dependent relationship with some other people. So those people respond to them out of fear. But you see that such people, when they turn their backs, they insult them, even call them names. They have names. It's very common for people to have all kinds of nicknames for the boss. They call him something, you know, Hitler is coming. Hey, Hitler is coming. Everybody will just behave nicely. And they'll be smiling as you are passing. That's not their feeling towards you at all. They just think you are an animal who's ruling them. It's just that. That's the way it is. Do you understand? So when you don't respect people and you don't show any respect to people, you haven't sown it. And so you will not reap it. You will not have respect also for your life. David sowed respect, isn't it? When he had the opportunity to kill Saul. And he said, no, we don't kill people like that. We don't touch the Lord's anointed. And having sown that seed, when he also made a mistake and the people could have taken him on, they also said, we don't touch the Lord's anointed. It's just as simple as that. You have sown it, you deserve the harvest. Amen. And it, remember, he said that a part of it, the seed is in itself. So when you have the thing, look inside. The seed for the thing is inside it. And if you want more of that thing, take some of it, which is the seed, and put it somewhere else. Then you're going to have more of that very thing you're holding. Can I have an amen? Right. So the next verse, or the next point, number 5. Good deeds are also seeds. Good deeds are seeds that can be sown. Every good thing you do to someone or for someone will come back to you as a harvest of good things for you. Hallelujah. Good deeds are also seeds that can be a blessing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, knowing that whatsoever good thing, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, whatsoever good thing a person does, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, it's too powerful. Whatsoever. This is as universal as the verse that says, whosoever believeth in him. Are you getting it? Because there are things to do in life. And there are things we can do in life. But the Bible says, whatsoever good thing any man does, any man doeth, he says, the same, he shall receive of the Lord, regardless of his background. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Regardless of his ground, whether he be bond or free. Do you understand? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Hallelujah. Amen. So God actually throws the ball back into your court to determine what you can have from him. Do you understand? I believe from this verse that there are a lot of things we pray for and we don't get them because we really don't have any seeds like that we have sown. So unless God decides to show you some mercy in that area, you really haven't sowed any seed. Do you understand? I mean, I'm yet to see somebody who didn't plant anything but believed God for mercy for his farm to be full of crops. I don't think that's how God's mercy works. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, he shall receive the same of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. He will receive the same. So if you want to receive it from the Lord, sow it. Do it for someone. Amen. Do it for someone. If you want to receive it from the Lord, do it for someone. Do it for someone. Don't say that if the Lord does it for me, then I'll do it for someone. No, do it for someone and the Lord will do it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And notice how it says you will receive it from the Lord, not from the person. Isn't it? So it means that when people respond wrongly to the good things you do for them, it is not supposed to be a deterrent. It's not supposed to stop you from doing further good things, even for the same person. Are you getting it? Yeah. Because the promise of a good return or a good harvest is from the Lord. It says, God will reward you. Do you understand? People do not always even have the ability to interpret the good that you have done for them. People do not always value the good that you have done for them as they should. Do you understand? Primarily because people don't always know what it costs you to do that good. Amen. Amen. So it does not inspire much appreciation because they can't really see it. For them, it's just what it is. But they may not know what it costs you to be that good to them. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord is showing us tonight that if you want to receive good things, do those good things and those good deeds to others. And when you do them, the Lord will bless you. He himself, God will make sure that you also receive the same thing. Amen. Amen. You have a chance to help people, help them. Because God will also send you help. I tell you, God will send you help. And when your time of help comes, you will be glad. Amen. Amen. Because you may be surprised that it may not be the same kind of help, but it's also help that you also need. Hallelujah. You help someone's child. God is also going to send someone to help your child. God is going to, you speak wisdom into someone's child's life. God is also going to send wise voices into your child's life. Oh, wow. It is amazing. It's amazing. One wise voice in your child's life can make such a big difference. Do you understand? Yeah. One wise voice, one person who says, this way, not that way. No, not this. This one. This is the way to go. That is it. Do you see? But if you look at other people's children and you feel like they are not yours, so you can see the child wallowing and heading towards foolishness and you just stand by and you just look on and say, let them go. After all, it's not your child. You see, and it's very easy to behave that way. Once it's not your child, a certain endearment is not there towards the person, and a sense of responsibility for that person is not there in a certain way. Do you understand? But you need to learn to have a heart that is large enough to include other people that you didn't give birth to as your children. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone needs to have more children than the ones you gave birth to biologically. Just like you have more clothes than the one you bought yourself. Is it not true? And some of your best ones are not even ones you bought. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So some of the greatest blessings to your life may not even come from the ones you gave birth to yourself. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you need to be careful when you're handling other people and other people's children. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Right. How many have I given you? Number six. Is it time to close? Okay. Number six. The word of God is a seed. The word of God is a seed that can be sown. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible describes the word as a seed. In the parable of the sower, the Bible says that the sower soweth the word. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm doing tonight is an act of sowing.
Amen.
I am sowing the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word is a seed. That means just the word alone can bring forth many fantastic fruits in your life. Hallelujah. The word of God, for example, can bring wisdom into your life. Amen. And wisdom is a way to blessing. Is it not true? Yeah. The Bible says in Psalm 19, let's read Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 8 or verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. You know, when you read Psalm 119, you see so many different descriptions of the word of God. Sometimes they are called the law of God. Sometimes they are called the testimonies of the Lord. Sometimes they are called the statutes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes they are called the precepts of the Lord. But all of them are, because that's what the word is. The word is a combination of laws, statutes, precepts, testimonies. They all form the embodiment of the word of God. Hallelujah. So the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Then the testimony of the Lord is sure, doing what? Making wise the simple. Hallelujah. So it means the word of God. Do you have? No, this is not that. Psalm 19 and verse 7. You don't have it. It's frozen. Okay. All right. So verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Amen. It means wisdom comes from the word of God. Is it not true? Simplicity is blankness. It's ignorance. It's a nice word for ignorance. Do you see? Which is a cousin of foolishness. Do you see? Yeah. That is what it is. That when people don't know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The absence of knowledge causes people to perish because it causes you to take the wrong steps. It makes you make foolish decisions and make foolish choices and take foolish steps which result in destruction and perishing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things about foolish steps is that they don't have a label, foolish step. Have you ever been around town and see some of these roads that don't have names? Do you get it? Then you have to get on the road and take a chance, and then it is down the road that the road sort of names itself. Then you see one sign will come. Oh, I see all along this is the road I'm on. Do you get it? Sometimes you've gone too far to make a U-turn. So they don't have such labels on them. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that road leads to a bad place. It leads to destruction. Do you see? So imagine, the road that's designed for your destruction seemeth right to you. Wow! It's a very dangerous place to be. The road that leads to destruction, not even to make you sick or just to disturb you a little bit. This is the road that is designed to destroy you. And yet that road presents as right from the beginning. It seemeth right. Wow. It looks like the right thing to do. It feels good. You know, it has great appeal. It has great enticement and seems to hold, you know, some good promises for you when you take that road. And yet it's not going where you think it's going at all. Do you understand? Yeah, and the Bible says that the lack of knowledge actually puts people on such roads. Amen. Therefore, wisdom, or anything that produces wisdom for that matter, is a great antidote for walking on such a road. And the Bible says the word of God is what prevents you. The word of God makes wise the simple, isn't it? Look at verse 8. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Do you understand? In my country, or in my language, they have an expression that which literally means your eyes are not opened. It means you're a bushman. Do you understand? Now, the Bible says that the word of God can translate you from bushmanism, do you see, into an enlightened person. That's just the word of God. Do you understand? It can remove the bush behavior. Do you see? It can remove the uncouth behavior. It can remove all those things from you and turn you into a smart, enlightened person. Hallelujah. Amen. He that findeth wisdom, the Bible says, happy is that man. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, the merchandise, what is the meaning of merchandise? Merchandise simply means stuff. You know, it's the word that a businessman would use to describe the things he's selling. He'd just say, my merchandise. That's all the things, you know, he's a merchant. And the things he deals in are the merchandise. Do you understand? So the stuff, he says, the merchandise of wisdom. That means the things that wisdom can bring into your life. Do you see? Is better than the merchandise of silver. Is better than the things that money can bring. And the gain thereof more than fine gold. The benefit of having wisdom is more than what gold will bring to your life. So she's more precious than rubies. And all the things you can desire are not to be compared to her. Hallelujah. If wisdom is that precious, then anything that brings wisdom must be even more precious. Do you see? Length of days is in her right hand. Wow. So longevity comes with wisdom also. And in her left hand, riches and honor. In her right hand, wisdom has length of days. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Hallelujah. Wow. Isn't that powerful? So God is showing us tonight that his word is also a seed. And that's the seed that yields wisdom and produces wisdom in your life. Amen. That makes the Bible very important. It makes books about the word very important. It makes preaching and teaching of the word very important. It makes listening to messages very important. I mean, if you know what is good for you, you will actually form a habit of listening to messages. If you know what is good for you, if you know that wisdom is good for you, you will form a habit of listening to messages. You'd always want to be listening to something. Always want to be listening to some preaching. Listening to the word of God. listening, instead of listening to the radio or listening to something like that that doesn't bless, these days I even find it difficult to watch this television news and all these things, because I realize there's just a certain emptiness and a certain dryness that, you know, I think I'm so used to things I listen to making a lot of sense to me. Do you see? They impart something to me that when I'm listening to something that's not doing that, you know, I feel it very quickly. Do you understand? I feel it very quickly that, I mean, this is not blessing me. It's not helping me. It's not like, it's not even draining me, but it's a waste of my time. You understand? Yeah, it's like chewing gum. When you chew gum, you just chew, but you don't get full. There's nothing. You see, and then you just get a lot of pain in your jaws, and you see so much hassle for very little benefit or nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You would expect that if your mouth would go on up and down for some time, at least you should swallow something and bring some fullness. Do you get it? That's how these things are becoming now. Amen. That comes from getting used to hearing things that teach you, things that instruct you, things that lift you up. It's a seed of wisdom. And you will not even know it, but you are becoming smarter and smarter and wiser and wiser. Hallelujah. As you are listening to the Word of God every day. Say amen. Next one, money is a seed that can be sown. Money is a seed that can be sown. The Bible teaches that money is a seed. Hallelujah. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when they are talking about giving, you know, the Bible says, or uses that language and describes it in terms of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Because the truth is that if you're going to have money, you need to learn to sow money. Because remember, the fruit, the seed is in itself. Do you understand? So the seed of your next $10 bill is in the last $10 bill you got. Do you understand? What you do with the last $10 bill you got is what's going to determine if the next one is going to come. Because the fruit carries the seed, and the next fruit is in the last one that you got. Hallelujah. So he says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Just makes sense, isn't it? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So he said, there is no force here. Every man shall find his level. Is it not what he's saying? Look, there's no force. Nobody should feel coerced. Nobody should feel pressured or anything. It's just choose your level. That's all. You know, sparing sowing, sparing harvest or reaping. You know, bountiful sowing, bountiful harvest, reaping. Just find medium sowing, medium reaping. You know, sowing nothing, nothing reaping. I mean, this is really up to you. You get it? So there should be no pressure in the church. What do you think? Nobody should feel pressured. So if they are taking offering or receiving the offering and they are saying $100, then you look down. You don't have to look down. You've chosen your level. That's it. Just wait for your level to come, and then you walk towards it boldly. You get it? That is all. It's just you are just choosing where you want to be, you know. But he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. That is how it is. So it's just the sowing that determines the reaping. So you just choose your reaping level by choosing your sowing level. Do you see? And then we are all moving and moving on, and everybody's happy. Can I have an amen? Next one, the tithe is a special seed that can be sown. The tithe is a special seed that can be sown. And this one entitles you to a harvest of the open heavens. So the scripture says, the famous verse, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. wow, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So once again, God says, do this and I'll do that. Do this and prove me if I will not do that. Hallelujah. Amen. The windows of heaven answer to seeds that are sown. Amen. The tithe is a seed that you sow. And it triggers, it unlocks the windows of heaven. Next time you go to a window, well, when you go home tonight, just walk up to your window and ask yourself, what does it take to open this window? Whatever you have to do to open the window, that's your tithe. You get, so if it's just a switch or something you have to press or a lock you have to turn, just as you're doing it, say, this is my tithe. Means that when this is not done, this window stays locked. Do you understand? And you have no access and no entitlement to any of the things behind the window. All the fresh air, everything outside there, you can see them, but you can't touch them. You are not entitled to it because the trigger that unlocks it is in your hands. You have to unlock the thing like that. And the lock is your tithe. Hallelujah. So are you going to try it tonight? Walk up to the window and then just do that. Say, oh, that's my tithe right there. Amen. Powerful. Then the next one is a seed to the poor. A seed to the poor is a special seed that gives a harvest of preservation, long life, health, and deliverance from enemies. Hallelujah. So you can see, God's things are like, God's blessings are like vitamins. See, you don't get them from one thing, one source. Do you see? So even though you may not have eaten a carrot to get vitamin A, you may eat something else. Do you see? So when you find yourself missing this, try to compensate and try to get this other one so that that will also bring. So right here we can see that it says in the right hand of wisdom is long life. So if you miss that, you can catch this long life also here. Are you getting the picture? Because long life is over here. It says when you give to the poor, you sow a special seed towards that. So a seed to the poor, Psalms 41 and verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed, isn't it, upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Thou wilt strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Amen. Amen. So that's a very important blessing that comes from sowing a seed with the poor. Hallelujah. So anytime you see poor people, you're pulling out of a shopping mall or something, you see these guys there standing, you know, with their cups and so on. See, don't be tricked by the fact that they may have been doing it all day and may have some more money than you. The fact that they are standing there is a revelation of some kind of poverty that they are suffering. Do you understand? They are either poor in intelligence or poor in wisdom or poor in something. There's some type of poverty that has brought them to that place. Do you get it? And so don't pass that opportunity if you have something to give. Just drop something there because you never know. Seeds are such that we don't just put one in one place. You try to put one here and another one here and another one there and another one there and another one there, another one. That's how to get a good harvest. Amen. Amen. So if this one doesn't come, at least you have your eye on this one, you know, or this one, or this one. But there are some of us who only sow in one place. That's it, just here. If this one doesn't happen or is canceled by something else, then that is the end. Hallelujah. Amen. So learn to be kind to the poor. Amen. Learn to give something to the poor. Then number 10 is the seed. The seed of, number 10 is the last one for tonight. seed of money mixed with prayer. Money mixed with prayer. Okay? And the best example of this one is Cornelius, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when he mixed his money with his prayers, it qualified him for a special visitation from God. God said, let's go to the man's house. Isn't it?
Yeah.
The Bible says that he saw a vision and the angel said to him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. So, as we give and pray, a combination of prayers and giving is also a type of seed that unlocks a visitation from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very, very, very important. So you see that life is very complex, isn't it?
Yeah.
But God has given us so many ways to be blessed. So many ways. That is why in Genesis chapter 1, one of the first things he released into the system is the law of sowing and reaping. And the whole concept of seeding. And he said, that's how I'm going to provide for the world. I'm providing for the earth by just creating seeds. Seeds that give birth to things. Hallelujah. So, design your world by choosing your seeds. Do you see? Sometimes you go to someone's house and you see an array of flowers. You see sometimes in the front they have planted certain types of roses. You see certain beautiful, and you'll be passing, oh, this house is very beautiful. Yeah. It didn't just happen. Do you get it? Yeah. Anybody who has not gone through what they have been through to plant those things there has a different type of presentation on his in the front of his house. Do you see? They have different plants there, weeds some most of the time, all kinds of things growing in that place. Hallelujah. But when you are intentional about planting good seeds, your seeds will look for you in the form of a great harvest and a great blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. And I want you to thank God for tonight and thank Him for the seed of His Word. Thank Him for what you have learned tonight and say, Lord, help me to plant some good seeds. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto you what seeds you need to be planting at this stage of your life. What seeds do you need to plant? What's tomorrow going to look like for you? What is tomorrow going to look like for you? What seeds do you need to plant today to change tomorrow? Or are you one of those who has gone for so long without planting any seeds? In a long time, you have not planted any seeds. That means that you have scheduled for yourself a season and a long period of having nothing. But God wants to deliver you from that tonight. And that is why He has sent His word your way. So I want you to pray and say, Lord, please help me in the name of Jesus. I don't want to plant nothing. I want to plant some seeds. I want to sow some good seeds because I recognize that the fruit I'm looking for, the seed is in itself. So whatever I have now, the seed is in it. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Makama shiki barababa. Miko soko tori mashaka farababa. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus, help us to sow seeds that will enhance our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you an opportunity to sow a seed tonight. Amen. So I want you to take out an offering.